Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is felt most,
love is felt most
when it's genuine.
You are. Love,
I had my share
of love
abuse, manipulated, and its strength. And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny.
Hello out there, podcast there. Thank you. And we welcome you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, and this is the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen. And now, as the song says, God favored me. That means you, he, she, all of us. God favors all of us. And now we will have a conversation with the messenger, Ron.
Ron, thank you so much, Nurse Carmen, for the introduction.
You're welcome.
Once again, it is an honor to be before you tonight. What I'm going to tell you now, it may be very difficult for some people to understand and accept. It's going to violate most of what is held as truth in our present thought system. Yet, I cannot let you go on living with these constructions if this dialogue that we're having is to serve you. We must now meet this concept head on. But I got to warn you, it's going to be a little bumpy going from here. So be ready, okay? What I'm going to tell you this. There are no rotten apples. There are only people who disagree with your point of view on things, people who construct a different model of the world. I'm telling you this, no person does anything inappropriate given their model of the world. So you got to hear what I'm saying, given their model of the world. What they're doing, they think it's right for them. I've had numerous conversations with people trying to explain from the godly concept that God doesn't look at things as right or wrong. And it's hard for people to understand that because they think without the right or wrong, without somebody telling you to do this or to do that, that we would have chaos. But what I'm saying is if everyone was to get in tune with who they really are, then we would not have the need for these rules. We would not have the need for anybody to be doing just what it is that the writings tell you. Because all the writings tell you, judge ye not one another.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be a reason why it's telling you that. But we look at it from a different perspective, as if God is saying to us, don't judge them because I'm going to take care of them. But what they don't understand is they have the same right to form their own opinion or their own model of the world as you do. And because they have that, who am I to tell them that their motto is wrong? So because we've been taught this concept that there's going to be repercussion by God and stuff, what we have to understand is these things down here, everything in which we do down here, whether you like it or not, you are giving God glory. And I say you're giving God glory because when you were put here to create. So whatever you create, it's giving God glory because that is who you are. That is who you were made to be. That is your purpose for here, to create the best life for you that you can. So we've got to stop looking at people and thinking, this one just ain't no good and this, that. We can't look at people like that. And, you know, I know we have a tendency to do it, but as we walk in the knowledge of who it is that we are, as Brother Paul said, some of the things that we used to do when we didn't know better, we don't do anymore.
Right.
And so this prejudging or determining whose life is better than whose life, that's not for any of us to say. And sometimes we look at people with all their riches and stuff, and we think that their life is so much better than ours. But we have to understand it all depends on each and every one of us. And part of the problem why we can't get our life together, because we're too busy worried about everybody else's life.
Mm.
But if we use that creative power to call forth what we feel is best for us and be concerned about us, then we wouldn't be so concerned about how other people are living their lives per se.
Amen.
And because when you get your life in order to be the best that you can be of who you are, then that person that might be in need because they haven't come into the full knowledge of who they are, you would be there to help them. And what we have to understand that there is a difference between being dependent and supportive. And a lot of times this is what we like to do. We like to have people depend so much up on us that we are supporting them instead of helping them. You've heard that old saying, I could give you a fish or I could teach you how to fish. And so what we need to be doing is teaching people how to bring forth what it is that they truly need. Because we all have that ability, we just don't use it.
Mm.
Because there have been so many things that we call forth in life. Some of the things we call forth in life, if you was to ask us right now, we would say, I didn't really want to bring that forth.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was bad, but as we look at it now, it's not conducive to our model of what the rest of the world or we are going to be. So just that instance right there, it's right and wrong how we are making such a critical mistake. So we've got to understand that there is no rotten apples. There is we've got to understand that people's ideas of right and wrong change and have changed over and over again from culture to culture, time period to time period, religion to religion, place to place, even from family to family and person to person. You can point so many people considered right at one time, burning people at the stake for what was considered witchcraft as an example, is considered wrong today. But back then it was considered right.
Mm.
Just so you know, that the definition of right and wrong is a definition established not only by time, but also by simple geography.
Mm.
I've said this many times. You know that in some places on the planet, prostitution is legal. It's illegal in one place and legal in the other place. So whether a person is judged as having done something wrong is not a matter of what that person has actually done, but of what he has done. But of where he has done it. So what I'm saying is, if he did it in New York, it's wrong. But if he do it in Vegas, it's okay. Because of what we have established, not something that God has established. And once again, as I've said before, all of this stuff, God does not care. I mean, when I say he doesn't care, it's not like, you know, they have the tendency to make you think that God is somewhere mad at the things in which we're doing. We have to understand when we say God, who God really is. And God is not a man. God does not act. His ways are not like our ways. But we can't seem to get that out of our mind. If we think that that's what's going to happen, then that's what God thinks is going to happen. But we have to understand, when you control everything, how can you get upset at how things are going? Because they're all going under your control. You have to understand, just as an example, if adultery was such a bad thing to God, don't you think by now it would be no more adultery? Because it's been going on since the beginning of time. But if it was such a terrible thing to God, wouldn't it have been by now? Wouldn't it have been something that doesn't exist anymore? But in one breath, what we like to do is we like to give God all of this power. And then we turn around and give God all of these weaknesses. And the weaknesses is what from our human nature that we have a tendency to place those same characteristics on God. And we've got it twisted. God is not like us. We are supposed to be like God. But every little characteristic, every little flaw that we have, we give that to God. Even though the word tells you that God loves you always. And then they threw it in spite of, and then when they say in spite of, then that leads you to think that something you're doing is unpleasing to God. But you forget the fact that what you're doing, God has given you the ability to do it, regardless to what other people may think. So if God is giving you the ability to do it, how is it so wrong to him? All of us, we love our kinfolks to death. But if our kinfolk kept putting his hand in the fire, wouldn't we do something to stop it? If we had to put locks on the thing so the fire wouldn't come up for him on the stove. If we had to do all, we would do these things so that you wouldn't do it. And if we think enough of our loved ones, and God is telling us he loves us even more, if it's so wrong, why is it allowed to continue? And then they like to say, well, this is what caused AIDS and all of this. Well, no, not really. It's we've taken things to a whole nother level, and as we've always said, for every action, there is a reaction. There is consequences for your actions. Consequence, if you go out and do good, there's consequences for that. And the consequences is you're going to reap that goodness. It's coming back to you. And it goes vice versa. You do something wrong, if you do something to harm someone, to hurt someone else, that's coming back again. Because what every person sow, they shall reap. It's universal laws. It's things that have been set up since the foundation. We decided this, but we forgot. We don't remember. The reason why we are having these conversations is to create readiness for a new paradigm, a new understanding, a larger view, a grander idea. We could not have gone to hell because hell does not exist. Therefore, there is only one place left to which we could have gone. We go. So I just wanted us to understand how we're looking at this thing in such a short-sighted way, and when we're dealing with the Creator, the all of everything. You know, they like to say that God is jealous if you worship your car. Don't you realize that God is the one that blessed you with the abilities to get the car? And now he's going to turn around and be jealous when he gave it to you? That's something we would do. Not God. If you're happy with it, God's happy with it. So it's important for us to understand this and try to break the chains of this thinking. Break the chains of this crazy thinking. Do you imagine that an event could take place if God did not want it to? Do you think that you could so much as lift your little finger if God chose for you not to? You can do nothing if God is against it. Yet, we seem to think that there are certain things that we've got so much power over God that we're pissing him off. He told us not to do something, and we're doing it anyway. We think we are just, we look at this body and think it's all of that. Even though it's decaying before our very eyes, we still think we've got so much authority in the physical sense. We've got so much authority that we're almost like this character that they made up as the devil. Mm. Because we are technically at war with God, if you think about it, because according to Scripture, everything that he tells us to do, we're doing the complete opposite. But we still claiming Christianity, we still claiming Islam, we're still claiming all of these different things, and we're doing opposite. God wants us to love. Love ye one another. So that means the Muslim and the Christian are supposed to be able to love. The Jew and the Catholic, they're supposed to be able to love each other. Because all of the religions teach basically the same thing, that we are to love one another. And there's a reason we're supposed to love one another, because when we come to know who we are, we'll understand that we are all one.
Amen.
We are all one, but we can't see that because we've still got this imagination in our minds. And as we've said in so many of our other conversations, we've got to get outside of our minds. We see we're inside of our, listening to our minds have got us. We've got to get outside of our mind. This is if we truly want to get spirituality so that we can be connected with the source. We've got to get outside of our mind. Look where our mind has gotten us to this point. We have to understand that God has given us free will, and when he gave us the free will, he gave us free will, and to God, free will is free will. It's free to do as you please. And why is it so hard for us to understand and believe that such a loving God would not give us free will, that we could go out and create whatever we wanted to create? If I want to create a two-family house and you want to create a one-family house, which one is better?
Both.
If you wanted to create a one-family house and I wanted to create a basketball court, which is better?
Both.
Depending on each other's model.
That's
if
right.
You feel that you need a house, then you create that house. Don't worry about the basketball court that I created for me.
That's right.
So the sooner we understand that we need to be about our own business of being the best we that we can be, then we can begin to help one another. And that's what it's about, helping, not hurting. We've been taught in school for so long throughout all theological constructions that allows us to believe that God is vengeful God.
And a jealous God.
Yes.
That's crazy.
But who makes these natural laws? And if we can agree,
man,
God must have put them into place. Why would God put into place such laws then give you power to overcome them? Think about that. God put laws, natural laws, into place, and then if you cross them, then you're able to he'll punish you. If God didn't want you to be affected by them, if it was God's will, what my wonderful being never should suffer, then why would God create the possibility that you could? And what I mean by that, if God does not want us to suffer, why would he put things there for us to suffer? See how we're playing games on God, and God has nothing to do with this. And then why would he then tempt you every day and night to break the laws that he set down? Why would he tempt you and then still punish you? Does that sound like a God, or does that sound like some villain?
Some villain.
So the only way that you can rationalize this theology is that you render God powerless. Do you understand that the only way your construction makes sense is if gods don't? So and the only way religion makes sense is if God doesn't make sense. If you listen to religion, religion is always going against what it is that God has said. So either religion is right and God is wrong, or the other way around. Do you really believe that God could create us and not be able to control our actions? Do we really believe that? And so we think that forever, we think that because God wants us to come to him out of choice, not because there is no choice. God set up heaven and hell so there would be a choice. So he could act out, so we could act out of choosing and not out of simply following a path because there is no other. So we're saying that God set this up kind of like a system for us to fail. But we have to understand, and our reality, that's the way it is. And we have in our reality, good cannot exist without bad. So what we do is we believe that since good cannot exist without bad in our reality, we believe the same in God's. But once again, I come to tell you, there is no bad where God is. And there is no evil. There is only the all of everything, the oneness and an awareness, the experience of that. God is the realm of the absolute, where one thing does not exist in relationship to another, but quite independent of anything. Where God is, there is only one thing there. Well, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say one thing. Where God is, there is a place where all there is love. But we have to understand, but there are consequences. There is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is. You simply change forms. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on the linear time and sequence events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is no but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you would know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outside world of judgment and condemnation. Other than others have judged you, and from their judgment, you have judged others. Now you want God to judge you, but I'm telling you, God will not do it. And because you cannot understand the God who will not act as a human would, you are lost. Your theology is your attempt to find yourself. Everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life. And therefore, the basic of the theology is if you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting you through your pace to see if you are worthy, your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember, then you are worthy and have always been, then your theology seems insane. So if you believe that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and you're praising and praying to God for forgiveness, then religion makes sense. But if you believe that you are part of creation, then it doesn't make sense. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, your theology stands to hold together. If you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then theology falls apart. So it all depends on our concept of what we think of God or who we think God is. And as long as we think of God in the sense that he is like us, we're going to get it wrong. If we continue to think that God is like us in the way that we do things, we're going to get it wrong. If you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passion, in her ecstasy, through your theology, are useless. So you've got a choice to think of God as a vengeful, jealous God or a loving and passionate one. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well.
Amen.
Thank you all for tuning in tonight. I hope those that didn't tune in would get a chance to listen to what was said, because we need to start better understanding this thing. We've got to shake loose that tradition of religion that we've been taught, because it is telling us not about God, but who they want God to be. They are changing up everything in which God is telling us to fit a human sense instead of a godly sense.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you, and I look forward to us conversating again on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Everyone, take care. Have a blessed week, and see you then. Good night.
Good night.